started. There's two abortions here, back for 500 men. It's our first repeat, guys, since we had some great time for the first time. I had the truth and merit to learn by him every day when I first came here. He was here every morning, and we learned. It was wonderful. So, welcome.
Thank you. Okay, so, Bezrat Hashem, I try to pack a few different ideas into one because I may not be back for another 6 months or so. Bezrat Hashem. Let's start. Hashem Yehuk, which Abri Hush can take, Birchilo, Rafimu, Rafimu, Hidu, Yahadel, Yod, Yod, behave, Baba, behave, Yukhadashim, Shem Koyso, Arena Makashat, me. May we merit to learn Torah, that the Torah should be for us a potion of life and bring us a good midot, to simcha, to patience, humility, holiness, shmirat einayim. And Bezrat Hashem, we should distance ourselves through the learning from all bad midot, arrogance, anger, impatience. Bezrat Hashem. Okay. I just thought it was good to start.
Can you explain what you just did?
Yeah. Well, we want to learn for Hashem's sake. He commanded us to learn Torah, so we say L'Shem Yichud. It's because when we do a mitzvah with the kavanah that we're doing it because Hashem commanded us, we're making a unification of Hashem's name.
Right,
we're not just doing it because it feels good or we like to do it. We're putting the kavanah that I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me. This is a mitzvah of Hashem. And then we connect to the tzaddikim because it's in their merit that we have a way to connect to Hashem also. So through the connection with the tzaddikim, we are able to connect to the Torah. They create a bridge that we can walk across. So we want to have their merit with us. And then we just make a little tefillah that when we learn Torah, it should be a sama chaim, a potion of life, as opposed to a sama mavet, God forbid, or the opposite, we should say. And it should bring us a good midot, and not anything bad, Bezrat Hashem. So I just want to start, we're just going to read Tikkun Mem Chet from the Tikkun Zohar. Oh, let me just pass the feedback. This particular one has a has a perush, but we could just read the big words. the Arizal Megaled, he revealed to us that this particular tikkun in the Tikkun Ezor is a tikkun for inyanim of Kedusha. It helps a person cleanse himself from any sins of the past, sins of their youth, as they call it, and sometimes when we're older also. So Bezrat Hashem, this it helps a person metaken that and gives us koach to keep making tshuva, Bezrat Hashem. So, we say, "V'hinu am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu u'masi adenu konuna aleinu u'masi adenu konenehu." It's Tikkun 48 from the Tikkun Ezor. So we just read it or just listen along. You see, Bereshit Taman, everyone has it. So, if you open it up, and right here, there's no page numbers really. So we can do it all together. Bereshit Taman, Terei Taman Shabbat, Kegavna Ada Bereshit. Barashid, Vinun Trey Shabbatot, Alaihu Itamar, Vishamru Vene Israel Eta Shabbat, Lasot Eta Shabbat, Vigomer, Train Zimnin in Karhacha Shabbat, Lekabel Shinta Ilaa Vetata, Ledoratam, Maila Doratam, Ela Zakai, Ihuman de Avid Lon, Dirabi Shabbat, Betray Bateli Ba, Vitrenemi Taman Yetzara, Diu Hilu Shabbat, Brit Olam Dat Sadik, the Shariantar Vahu Ale, Had Lam Laa, Le, Vahad Lit Malyamine, Bene Israel, Inun Train Kulian Netzach Vahod, Benoid Israel Saba Amuda Dem Saita. Tlat Shivi 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 Ilain Tlat Avahan. Onik Shabbat Benar Yotzem Eden Lashkot Edagan. Benar Eat Nahar Veit Nahar. Eat Nahar Dikare Nahar Pelagav. Veit Nahar Dikare Nahar Kedumim. Eden Ilaha Aleit Mar Ain Lorate Elohim Zulatecha. Hain Nahar Ihu Vav. Denafik Eden Ilaha Diu Aleph. Ve'avar Ben Abba Vima Ve'azil Chamesh Mot Shana Umate Ad Sadik Shvi'i. ומתמן אשקי לגינתה דאי שכינתה תתאה. זקה אי אומן דנתיר דירה לשבת דיו ליבה. דלי קריב תמן עציבו דתחול. וכעז דמרה דיו נורה דגהינם. דעלי אדמר לא תבערו אש בכל משבתיכם ביום השבת. ואחי הוא ודאי דחומן דחאיס כאילו עקיד נורה דגהינם. 40 מלאכות חסר אחד. אינון לקבל 40 מלכיות חסר אחד בשבת. ואינון עשרה דלקה אדם ועשרה לחווה ועשרה לנחש ותשעה להרעה. וגין דם רום הרי מתניתין אין לוקים בשבת דאילן מלאכות אינון חשיבין לישראל לקבל מלכיות. יציאת השבת 2 אינון עקירה והנחה דאביד לון בבת אחת מן דעקר חפץ מעטרי והנח ליל לבר מעטרי ומרשותי כאילו העקר אילנה דחיי דיו עוד ברית והנח ליל ברשון וכרעה מן דאביד דע גרים דעקר נשמתי מרשות דילה והנח לה ברשו אחרה דיו מרה ותחול ודה גרם לישראל דהתעקרו מערה דה ישראל והתגליאו בערה נוכרעה דהיו רשות הרבים ואחי יהיו מן דהיל עוד ברית קודש דילי ברשו נוכרעה שבתאי יהיו תחול חמה יתתה בשם הרע שבתאי עלי ידמר והבור ריק אין בו מים מים אין בו אבל נחשים הקרבים יש בו ויהיו רעה וצמאון וקינה והספד וחשוכה וקבלה והיא גלותה לישראל וצריכים לישראל למעבד לשינוי בחולה והאו כמוה ויהיו דיבור דחוד יהיו אסור בשבת וחד לה השכחת עתה לשעיית המן יהיו בורחת כגבנה דשפחה דאברהם דאדמר בא מפני שרי גבעתי אנוכי בורחת תחול עלי אדמר שען עליך מעל רגליך נעל מתונף דטיפה סרוכה כי המקום אשר אתה עומד עליו אדמת קודש הוא דה שבת ועלי אמרת שכינתה פשטתי הקוטונתי החכה בשינה רחצתי את רגלי החכה תנפם ובגינדה צריך ברנש בשבת לשנויה בלבושים בשרגה במאכלין וצריך למעווה מוסיף מחול על הקודש וכל המוסיף מוסיפין לי נפש יתרה בשבת וכל הגורע גורין לי נפש ההיא נפש יתרה חס ושלום וכל המוסיף מוסיפין לי נפש יתרה בשבת ברוך אדוני לעולם אמן ואמן. So that's just to bring Rabbi Shimon in the room and to at least if we did nothing else we read a little Zohar so we're okay for the rest of our lives more or less. But now hopefully we'll learn something too. You can keep that and it has a perush. If it's good to try on Shabbat to learn Zohar, it's worth a lot more on Shabbat, like at least 1,000 times more. So, and it's also good to read every now and then if you can. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, this last Rosh Hashanah, Baruch Hashem, was zochet to make it to Uman, and I heard Rav Shik gave a drasha on the Shabbat after Rosh Hashanah. And he said, the Rebbe has a line, you came to Uman and you didn't go to Sofia. I was trying to find where he said that. I tried to call someone and ask him, but it's one of the Svarim. You heard this line, you came all the way to Uman and you didn't go to Sofia?
There's a park, Sofia?
Sofia's a park, right.
Yeah.
Right, so there's a big famous park there. And I guess I always thought it meant, like, there's an Inyan to go visit that park. So Rav Shik actually said it has nothing to do with the park. That's not what the Rebbe is talking about at all. He said, Sofia is a remez to the Sof, the end. Wow. So it means you came to Uman, you came to the Tzaddik, and you didn't put in your head the realization that there's going to be an end to your life. Because that's the biggest Yetzara, that we all think we're going to live forever. So I don't need to worry about what's going to be at the end. And then, Chas v'Shalom, we go on living in a way that without this consciousness or this awareness of the end. What the Rav Shik called it is we live in a dimion, in an illusion, that we're here forever, we can do whatever we want, there's no end. So the whole inyan of coming to the tzaddik, coming to Uman, and going to Sofia, is because the tzaddik, the main job of the tzaddik is to take us out of this dimion, that this world is like forever, and we have all the pleasures here for us to just enjoy forever, and that there's going to be an end, so we need to think about our end. In fact, it's a Eitzah Tova every day, right when you wake up, the first thought that should enter your mind. Rav Yitzhak Breiter, Hashem Yakum Damo, he writes in his Day in the Life of Breslov HaChassid, there you go, right? In the Seder Hayom.
13 Shekel.
Right? It's very, very, very good Sefer. Seven Pillars of Faith. And at the end, he has a Seder Hayom, like, you know, what your daily routine should be, more or less, at least try to. And the first thing when you wake up, you should think about Olam Haba, the first thought you have. And pray to Hashem that you should mitnaheg.
I think the first one is Modeh, then...
Yeah, you say Modeh Ani, but no, even before you say Modeh Ani, your first thought should be, oh, I'm going to get to Olam Haba. And then you want to pray, you say Modeh Ani, and then you want to do a little tefillah. I should live today in holiness, because I'm going to get to the end, and I want to be proud of today. I saw a picture of Rav Kaduri. I was talking to one guy, He was saying like everybody's scared of the end. I said that's, I don't know if that's true, because I saw a picture of Rav Kaduri in the hospital. It said like the last picture taken before he died, and there was somebody reading Zohar to him, and he had this big huge smile on his face. And I was thinking, that's the way you want to go out, you know? What do you want to be afraid of? A person who lives every day to its fullest, like Avraham Avinu, he went with all his days, right? What do you have to worry about? So if we're always aware that there's going to be an end, which is the goal of the connecting to the tzaddik, and all the tzaddikim, they make us aware that there's going to be an end. So we come out of the illusion of this world that everything is real and it's going to be forever here. Question?
Thank you. I always think about the way you just said it. On the other hand, I get knocked over by the Gemara that talks about, remember
what
was when
it's Naimar
Amarayim,
yeah,
that said he was afraid, and
all Tamidim
were like, why should you be afraid?
Right, okay, no, and I mean, right, he was crying at the end. Nachon, but okay, but fine, but we still have to, it's just we have to live every day with the awareness, not in the illusion that life is forever. Now, again, this isn't supposed to scare a person. This is supposed to give a person life, and I'll explain how. Because if you make a calculation, this world is, they say, 70 years, and if you're 70 years, and if with strength it's 80 years, right? So 80 years. And who do you know that's even, you know, 100 or past that? So the point is, but we know the next world is infinite. It's eternal, right? So anyone who knows math, if you may, and we're going to live in the next world too, there's no question. So anyone who knows math, if you calculate what's 100 years, let's say 120 years, what percentage of that of infinity, you get 0.0000, just go on to infinity, and after infinity you'll have like a 1 at the end, you know, it's nothing. So then in a sense, we don't even really have an existence in this world in relation to our existence in the next world. So what does that mean for us? It means that if you're awake today, it's a total bonus, it's a total miracle, and that's be'emet how the tzaddik wants us to live. He wants us to forget about yesterday, don't think about tomorrow, and just take today. Because today itself is a total miracle, because really, in relation to our station in the next world, this whole world is nothing anyway. So the fact that we have a day to do avodat Hashem, to gain eternal reward, it's already a miracle. Forget what you did yesterday. It's not worth anything. And don't worry about what's going to be tomorrow. All you have is today. So, Bezer Hashem, we'll get a little happier soon. But that's the idea of coming to Uman. Coming to Uman means mekashering to the tzaddik, learning the teachings of the tzaddik, and the talmidim of the true tzaddikim and all the real tzaddikim. They're there to get us to realize that you got to make the most out of this world and not to fall into the dimyon. And I found a remez for this in Parsha Bereishit. I was zocheh this year to learn Rashi with Bereishit. I'm working on Noach right now. We're getting there. I heard from Rav Brenner. He said another big yitzhara is like, you say, I want to learn this year Chumash Rashi. And you get through Bereishit, and then, you know, it slows down. He said, so a few weeks go by, just keep one of these like sticky things or bookmark, and it takes you 3 weeks to get back, and just continue on Noach, and then Lech Lecha. And he said, so if you don't finish Chumash Rashi in 1 year, so you finish it in 2 years. Or you finish it in 3 years, but at least you could say, I finished once all of Chumash or Rashi. Don't get mebalbeled that you have to do it with the Parsha, and if you miss the Parsha, you're not going to start again next year. I'll wait till next year. That's also a bilbul, confusion. Just continue, and if you miss 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, pick it back up again, and continue from Noach. And at least you could say, once in your life you finish Chumash Rashi. It may take 2 years, 3 years, it doesn't matter. So in any event, I got through Bereishit so far, and we're in the second Aliyah of Noach right now, but where do we see a remez to this dimyon, this illusion that we're going to live forever? It's, I can't read my notes, so don't pay attention to this. I try to make notes, but Adam HaRishon ate from the Etz Hadat Tov V'Ra, right? He actually was living forever. We didn't have death in the world, right? He ate from the Etz Hadat Tov V'Ra, and Hashem said, if you eat from it, you're going to surely die. Then we see he ate from it, and as soon as he ate from it, Hashem had a fear. He says, chapter 3, Pasuk Kaf Bet 22, it says, Vayomer Hashem Elokim, hen ha'adam haya ke'achad mimenu. Hashem was talking to the angels, And he said, now Adam is going to be like the one, like the unique one among us, meaning he has the knowledge that we have now. Versus before he, when he ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tovra, we know the Yetzer Hara entered into him. So, before he ate from the Eitz HaDaat Tovra, the Yetzer Hara was external. So here we're getting an insight as to what the Yetzer Hara really was in a person. And Rashi points it out also. So, Lada Tovara. So he became like one of us. He has the knowledge now of good and evil, meaning he's gained a certain insight into his knowledge that he didn't have before. Ve'ata penishlach yado ve'lachach gam etz ha'chaim ve'achal ve'chay le'olam. And now, what was the fear of Hashem? Maybe he's going to put out his hand and take from the tree of life, and he'll live forever. So, and then he throws him out of the garden, and he puts the revolving sword to block the way. So the interesting thing is, Hashem didn't throw him out of the garden because he did a sin. He threw him out because now I'm afraid he's going to take from the tree of life and really live forever, and that's why I have to throw him out of the garden. Not because he did a sin and he disobeyed, so you're out of the Hashem's garden. So it's a bit strange. Like, why is that the fear of Hashem? Why is that the reason for the punishment? So Rashi says, "Pen yishlach yado." Perhaps he'll reach out his hand, and umishi yichye leolam. And if he will live forever, harehu karav lehatot habriyot acharav velomar afu eloha. Maybe he's going to be able to mislead the rest of the creation, and make them mistake and think that he's also a god, because now he's going to live forever. And so we get an insight here that. That's the dimyon of when a person lives forever, when they think they're going to live forever, so they think they themselves are a god, and they don't have to abide by the real God. And the funny thing is, you see a lot of remazim, a lot of hints to this, like the Egyptian culture, right? What did they all want to do at the end of their lives? They did the thing where they, like what they did to Yaakov Avinu, they took out their blood and they put in, I forget the word for it, mummied themselves.
Mummifying.
Yeah. Right? And then they put all their treasures in the pyramid because they wanted to go out with their treasures, and they built maybe statues of themselves. All this was because they wanted to imagine they're going to live forever. And this, the same Yetzer Hara lives now, like people build big buildings, they amass a lot of wealth. It's all the same Yetzer Hara that we want to feel that we're gonna live forever. And now let me just think for a minute. So basically, that's the real Yetzer Hara of a man, and that's the tava of a person is that I'm gonna live forever. And then what did Hashem do as a chesed for us? He gave us death. And that's why in the Zohar it says, when on the sixth day it says Tov Meod. All the other days it says Hashem saw it was good. On the sixth day it says Tov Meod. The Zohar says, because that on that day he created the Malach HaMavet. And that's very good, because that's going to save a person from living their whole life having no connection to God. Because if you know your life's going to end, so you know, hey, I better figure out what I'm here for, and I better make eternal plans as opposed to temporary plans. And so this is why the Malach HaMavet was called Tov Meod. And this is why in the Navi Yeshayahu it says in the end there won't be any more death. It says Bala Mavet LaNetzach. Hashem is going to get rid of death from the world. Why? Because in the end everybody's going to know that Hashem is one, and there's not going to be a chashash that we're going to not have a relationship with Hashem. We're going to live our lives indifferent to God, God forbid. So there'll be no more reason for the curse of Adam Rishon, because the tikkun will be made, and when Mashiach comes, there'll be no more death. All the sick people will be healed, and all the dead will come back to life, and there'll be no more death. Because the only reason we need death is because, same thing Adam Rishon, because he had the Yetzer Hara inside of him that wanted to trick him. And if he would then live forever, so then that's it. There's no guarantee that he'll ever make tshuva and ever come back to Hashem. Okay, so that's in a summary of what's this idea of the you came to Uma, you didn't go to Sofia, that the tzaddikim want to bring us to this realization that we have to take life seriously, and so now that we said that, And we explained how you see in the Torah also that Hashem's fear was that if Adam lives forever, he won't take life. He'll think he's a god and he'll live like indifferent from Hashem. And then he put the curse of death on him. But when Mashiach comes and everybody knows that Hashem is one, we don't need that anymore. So that disappears from the world and everybody lives forever again.
Even he knew that he would not live forever.
No, that was why Hashem sent him out, because now if he ate from with the Yetzirah inside of him, if he ate from the tree of life, then it would be a problem.
Same about Bamu, that he was saying, Leo Rinani Asitini, like I created the Nilo, it's of mine, and I was creating myself.
Right. Yeah, we unfortunately a lot of people still live with that illusion. That's why we amass. People amass like wealth and big buildings in this world, and what's it all for?
Did Hashem explain to Adam that was the reason why he was being sent out?
I don't. It doesn't say Hashem explained it. It tells Hashem's concern.
But he didn't tell Adam that this is why.
No, I don't think so.
No.
Adam would have believed it was the initial sin.
Yeah, it could be. Rashi brings it as that was Hashem's concern. It says Hashem said it to the angels.
He didn't share with Adam.
I don't know. Okay. So now that we clarified what this illusion in life is, so now the question comes, so how are we supposed to live? So for this, we have the teachings of Rabbi Nachman in the first lesson of Likutei Moharan. He tells us very clearly how to live. He wants us to live in a constant state of tshuva, constantly trying to get close to Hashem. And he says it here, how he says it, in lesson one. Before we start that, you know, someone told me in a big university in America, they did a study. What does a person need to survive? Like, what's the most basic things they need to survive in this world? And they started narrowing it down. You know, they took out internet, took out iPhones, they took out a car.
Some people died.
Huh? Some people died. Yeah, some people died, but the average person could still live. They took out coffee. And then they came down to four essential things that everybody needs to live. They need food and water, clothing, shelter, and the fourth thing, somebody to blame. You have those four things, you can live.
I'm sorry, what was that again? The four?
Food and water.
Food and water.
Clothing.
Shelter.
Somebody to blame. Gotcha. Then you can live. Everything else you can do without. So, it could be just a joke, I'm not sure.
I think
so. So, here the Rebbe wants to teach us. Why would we say that? Because that if you look at the world, like, that's the way we get through. That's how we get through life, right? As long as I don't have to, it's not my fault. Someone else's fault. We can live just fine. But the Rebbe doesn't want us to live like that at all. He says here in a paragraph in. I'll just read this little bit. Ki isha Yisraeli tzrich tamid leistakel ba'asechel shel kol davar ulkasher atzmo ala chokma ba'asechel shesh b'kol davar. So what he's saying here is that every single thing that happens in the world is Hashem doing it, right? It's hashgacha. Everything that we do, everything that others do, Hashem is doing it. There's a sechel in it. It's coming from Hashem. That's the first thing. And he wants us to mekasher to that, to take in why is Hashem doing this, and essentially what does he want me to get out of this? Why? Because it's kedesh ya'ir lo ha'sechel she'esh b'kol davar li'karev la'Hashem yibarach ha'idei ato davar. So the reasoning behind why this thing happens can enlighten me as to how I'm supposed to come closer to Hashem. So that takes away the somebody to blame. There's nobody to blame. And it's a very important lesson in Shalom Bayit too. Because when your wife does something that might annoy you or might not be what you like. So you don't... Anybody in Shalom Bayit, you can have a list 10 pages long of all the things she does that are not right. And you can convince any therapist, any counselor that she's crazy and that she's doing everything wrong and that she's ruining your life. But I thought this on my own. The bigger your list is, the bigger proof of all the problems that you have to work on are. The more things you have wrong with her, she does this wrong, does that wrong, does that wrong. All these are reflections of all the things that you have to fix in yourself. So hopefully, the more things you can think of about her, it's a reflection of all the problems you have in you. And you can prove anyone in the world, you could read them your list and they'll say, oh yeah, she's terrible. But you can fool everyone and that's okay, but who are we here to, if I'm not for me, then who is for me, right? Everyone else could think, yeah, oh poor guy, he's really suffering. But at the end of the day, you have to answer to your maker, and he's going to say to you, I was trying to tell you what you have to fix, and all you did is blame me, you know? So here the Rebbe said, and also, by the way, with your kids, B'Shah Tavai, everyone should have blessed with children. I heard this also from the Rav, Rav Arush, you should be well. He said, every problem you see in your kids, don't say, look at my kids doing this wrong. Your kid doesn't want to pray. The Rebbe says, you know, he's not coming in for mincha. He's not learning well. So then you complain. You say, oh, what's wrong with my boy? Why isn't he? You should say, wow, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have a cheshik to pray? Why don't I learn Torah well? Why don't I care about my studies? Because he's just a reflection of you. If you really cared about tefillah, if you really care about learning, right? And it's on so many levels. Like another insight, if someone was complaining, their wife, she always does really outrageous things in front of the kids. She shouts a lot at him and she's really mean with the kids and she's very short-tempered with the kids. But then I told him, you know, do you show me your nine? Because, you know, when you don't show me your nine, you know what kind of destruction you're doing to your kids. You know, it says in the holy books that, well, if a man has improper thoughts, so he gives control to the other forces to raise his kids. Which is very scary. You look at someone, you have improper thought, you just gave your kid to the other side that they have, they're his parents now for a little bit, you know? And they're giving him all kind of poison, God forbid, and all. So, I'm saying, maybe he can blame her, and on paper it looks like she's shouting and all, but one time he walks in the street and he looks somewhere he shouldn't look, she's just reflecting what he's doing. So, in everything, like the Rebbe's teaching us, don't live in the dimyon, in the illusion that there's something else out there. It's only Hashem. This whole world's only Hashem. And everything He's doing is for us to get closer to Him. And everything we see is just trying to give us that awakening. And but only, like we said, only through the tzaddikim can we come to this awareness. If you live in the world and you listen to what the world says, unfortunately they put a person asleep and they don't at all arouse a person to think like this. But the tzaddikim and the Rebbe, that's what they're doing. They're trying to get you to remember you're here to fix yourself. That's it. And your wife is a messenger for you, your kids, all the people you interact with, they're just here to get you to fix yourself. So anyway, so he says here that we have to see the sechel and the chokhmah and everything in order to enlighten for us. Every single thing should be a light to us. How to come closer to Hashem. And then he brings this is the Malchut. Because he says to achieve such a high level that someone interacts with you in a negative way and you don't get angry at that person, instead you're saying, oh wow, look what Hashem's trying to tell me. Look how Hashem's trying to open my eyes. Or if your wife, you know, does something and then instead of reacting to her, you take it in. He says the only way you can do this is when you metaken the malchut. He brings later in the lesson, which is humility. And the Rebbe brings the mashal between the sun and the moon. The sun has its own light, and the moon, it realizes it's empty, and everything it receives from the sun. So he says, the seichel, meaning everything Hashem is doing is like the sun. And the only way you're going to receive from Hashem is if you're like the moon, you realize that this is Hashem sending me a message, as opposed to, I know why this is happening, I know it's this person's fault, that person's fault. Then you're like the moon, I mean, then you're like your own sun, but it's not real. It's like the moon who thinks he has his own light. And he also brings that this is the real, and the moon is the symbol of humility. And Malchut, in the Sfirah, Malchut is the lowest Sfirah, but But yet it's the highest because it receives from everything above it. So it's at the very bottom. I mean, it's the most humble, but really it's the greatest midah. The greatest midah is anava, humility. Because when you're at the bottom, you can now receive from everything above. Versus if you're above, you can only receive from what's above you, you can't receive from what's below you. So the malchut has the greatest advantage because it's like when they throw the candy in the shul. So the big guys maybe catch something in the air, or maybe something will land on a chair, but the little guys are all over the floor, and they get everything. You know, like my son, he comes at like 20, 30, 40. Why? Because he's crawling all over the floor. That's the malchut. The malchut's at the bottom, he gets everything. So when a person, so the Rebbe says you're not going to get to this level of not blaming and getting the messages from Hashem until you have this midav malchut that you have humility, and then you're able to be a receiver, right? And stop blaming everyone for everything else and start fixing yourself, Bezrat Hashem. And he brings that this is the real melchama between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra, which he likens to Yaakov and Esav, that the Yetzer Ra makes you want to think you're a king. He's a foolish king, it says, right? Because you know everything already, and you don't need to receive. You don't need to humble yourself and receive from anything. You already know everything. Versus the Yetzer Tov, it makes you want to feel like you're just a dalut. You're impoverished. You don't know anything. But in the truth, that's the greatest, because then you can receive the light from Hashem. And the illusion is that the Yetzer Ra, he's like a king in this world, because he has that like glory that, you know, it's a Sheker Achen. It's also in this lesson. This lesson has a lot of amazing things. The Sheker Achen is, you look like a king. Everybody sees you, oh look, that's the big guy, you know? But in truth, you don't know anything. You haven't fixed yourself, your midot, you know? You just have Sheker Achen. While you have power, you're in power. It's like the big sports athlete, you know?
Can you define Sheker?
Yeah, okay, we'll do that one second. The big...
Just for the basic.
Yeah, we'll shot. Do it. Alright. The big sports guy. You know, once he like breaks his ankle, that's it. Nobody cares about him anymore, you know?
Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson.
Oh, yeah, with the knee bent backwards. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
All his picks, because he's slow motion. Like pills, that it's also a fake.
Yeah, and I thought everything, like the movie stars, once they make one bad one, you know, then nobody cares about him anymore. Like poor Arnold, you know? He was good for a while, and then...
Terminator. You have the wrong one.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he really went down at the end, huh?
O.J. Simpson.
Right, whatever it is. I forgot all that stuff. But the point is, so the Sheker Achen, it's a glory that a person has. It's like it's like in Mishle, Sheker Achen Hevel Yofi Isha Yirat Hashem Iti Talal. Isha Chayal. Well, that's the last chapter. That's from Mishle, chapter 31, the last chapter. So what's the point? Because what's the Sheker Achen Hevel Yofi? A woman, if she gains her glory in this world with her body, with displaying her body, so she's got the Sheker Achen and the Hevel Yofi, because she has her, well, I don't know, 20, 30 years of glory, and then that's it, you know, if that much. That's it, finished. But Isha Yirat Hashem, Hiti Talal, but a woman who fears God, that's her glory, in the end, she's the praiseworthy one. Because that's the difference between Sheker Achen and the Chen of the real Chen. And we can use that mashal just because it's easy to understand that if you only get your glory out of something that's not, the something that's ephemeral, like short lived, you know, that doesn't really last. So it's Sheker, because when the time goes and you get older and you have a few kids and you don't have, you know, the stretchy stuff doesn't quite work for you anymore. And then you're done. Well, where's your glory? You didn't have anything. But if a woman develops Yirat Hashem and she works on fear of Hashem, and she makes that her true investment, indifferent to you know what her body is like, then even when she's 100 years old, she still has the same glory, if not more. And in the next verse, she has all that glory. And that's why it says, Shairat Hashem Hiti Talal. Tunulai Priyadea, the Hallelujah, she'll be praised in the end. But Tishak Leom Acharon, she'll be the one laughing at the end. And I read in the, that's a very important verse. Ozve Hadar Levusha, glory and grandeur is her clothing, meaning, and but Tishak Leom Acharon, she'll laugh in the last day. So I read in the Mefarshim, in some of the commentaries, they write that a woman who's modest, who covers herself, when she meets the Malach HaMavet, she'll laugh in his face. She won't have anything to fear. When she goes up to judgment, she'll laugh. Because she achieved in this world. There's nothing, because that's the peak of a woman. And for a man, it's not. For a woman, because she knew that her body wasn't the, her Yetzirah is to draw attention in, and a man's Yetzirah is to look out and to. So, and for a man, if he guards his eyes his whole life, he also can laugh on the last day. What does he have to fear? He didn't get, as we're going to get to in the very end. What time is it, by the way?
You have about 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah, Baruch Hashem.
20 minutes.
Fine. So, a man's main challenge in this world is not to get drawn after the dimyon of this world, like we talked about in the beginning. And we're going to say also that his main way of getting drawn after the illusions as well is through his eyes. The Zohar says the main Yetzirah comes in through the eyes. The eye sees and the heart desires, the Chazal say. So if we guard our eyes from looking at this world, then we're saved from all the death and destruction and misery that it brings us to. We can also laugh at the last day. So back to here. So this is the Eitzah that the Rebbe is giving us in the beginning of the Likutei Moharan, that he wants us to not. We need to have humility, and and we need to be able to see everything as Hashem bringing us closer to Him, as opposed to, you know, I'm the king and who's this person? Who's this person stepping, you know, doing the wrong thing in front of the king? You know, off with their head, whatever. It's the opposite. I'm just I'm the lowest of low. There's nobody worse than me in the whole world. I'm the lowest servant that there is, and Hashem is trying to talk to me. He's trying to bring me closer to Him. How lucky I am! What's He trying to tell me? Through my wife, through my children, through this interaction, through that interaction, and this will get us to the ultimate pleasure in the next world. Because it'll get us to fix ourselves in this world, which anyway, in relation to the next world, is nothing anyway. So what do you have to lose? You know, we have a day here. It's like a total bonus. It's a miracle. What do you have to lose? Fix yourself in this world. Anyway, Chazal say it's like a bird, a shadow of a bird flying overhead. That's your life in this world, and it's nothing. So every day we have, if we can remind ourselves, the Rav says you got to remind yourself of your retzonot every day, your will, your desire every day. It's not who are the shir yesterday and on Shabbat. It's not going to come automatically. If every day, what the end will do, we'll make a little tefillah up that we could say Bezrat Hashem, that Hashem should help us. We should pray that we should be zochet to fix ourselves in this world, because there's nothing to build in this world. Like a Chafetz Chaim, he was once. Oh, a rich man came to visit him, and they saw he had a very little house, not bigger than the size of this room, and nothing on the walls, and no fancy furniture, and nothing. He said, "Well, you're like the biggest sage in Israel, you're the Chafetz Chaim, why don't you live a little more fancy?" So he said to him, "How did you come to me?" He said, "I came on a train." He said, when you're in your train car, did you bring furniture in there? Did you put a nice rug down? You hung pictures on the wall? You put fancy gold and silver things in the cabinet?" The guy said, "No, that's a train. I was just passing through in the train until I got to you." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm just passing through this world also. What do I need to invest?" "Okay, you have to make certain things to live with. You need a table to eat on, a bed to sleep on, but a fridge so your wife doesn't complain too much. It should work, Bezrat Hashem. Oven, I found out now, it's very important that all the flames on the oven work. If one's not working good, It's not so good. You have to fix that, but all right. But apart from that, what do we need to invest? There's nothing worth. The only investment, Shlomo Melech said, the smartest of all men, the richest of all men. He had the most wisdom, the most riches, the most everything. And he said, Sof davar kol nishma, et Elohim yirah ve mitzvotav shimor ki zekol adam. After all said and done, fear God, keep the mitzvah, because that's all a person is.
That's why I said to better go to the Bible and the Simcha.
Nachon, he said that also. Better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of happiness, because there you'll get more reminded of what the tachlit is, of what your purpose is. So that's from the Ketei Maran, that's what we could take out of it. That's a Rebbe wants us to be in a constant state of tshuva. Everything that's happening to us, we're not blaming anyone else. We're looking at ourselves and we're saying, how am I supposed to get closer to Hashem through this very thing? What's Hashem trying to tell me? But we have to have humility for that. We have to humble ourselves and know that we're nothing special and no one owes us anything, and dinner doesn't deserve to be on the table the minute you walk in, you know? Everything. And now, the last distraction from what we've said is the last thing we're going to talk about, Bezra Hashem, Shvizoch Yidol Mechazek, is Shmirat Einayim. So, guarding the eyes. Because, now I just thought before we start on that, just a quick thing, I had a chidush on this. It's not like if you look at the wrong things, you're going to be pulled after the ta'avot and you're going to, God forbid, a person will destroy their lives. Of course, that's vaday. But there's a positive side to it also. It's always good to see encouraging things too. You know, you ever seen books in Braille? You've seen those? Now, so a blind person, lo aleinu, they can fly. I've seen actually people read things in Braille. They mamish, their fingers just flying across, you know, and they're reading a book. I mean, it's probably a lot more pages, but they're reading.
Everything's abbreviated.
It's abbreviated. Okay, well, whatever it is, but they're able to, with just the touch of their fingertip, they're able to read pages and pages like that. I don't know if anyone's ever tried, but sometimes like on elevators, they have like some numbers in the buttons. I can't even feel the difference. What's one button, two buttons, three? You can't. So what happened? Because lo aleinu, they lost one of their senses, so their other senses became much more sensitive, and so now we being composed of both a body and a soul, having a sensitivity in the physical world, but also in the spiritual world. So we know now that the main intake of the physical world is through the eyes, right? Because once you see something, you start, that's how you get a sense. There's also hearing and smelling, it's true. But the eyes is the ikar one. It's probably 90%+ is the eyes. And that's how you get a sense of the physical world, right? So if a person guards their eyes and they cut out almost their entire intake of the physical world, they only look in their four amot, or in the holy books, or in holy faces, but they don't look at anything else in the world, basically. It says in, like, the Noam Elimelech in the Tzetel Katan, he says, you should even train yourself not to look around in your house. You know, you're sitting in your house, and then, why do you need to stare around the walls of your house? And many, many say in the Beit Midrash, or in davening, for sure, you shouldn't pick your eyes up from your siddur. You shouldn't look around who's in the shul. You shouldn't look around what's on the walls. There was one famous story a friend of mine told me. I forget which Rebbe. I think it was the Rebbe of Rav Aaron Rata, the Baal Shomer Emunim in Tarat HaKodesh. I forget his name. The Blujava Rav. So he had a Beit Midrash downstairs, and the Ezra Nashim was upstairs. The women's section was upstairs. And another big tzaddik came in, and he said, Rebbe, the mechitza on your Ezra Nashim, it's not so good. It's a little bit see-through, or it's not quite high enough. And so he said, really, tell me what's wrong, whatever. So I forget not exactly, but the point is, he actually never looked in his own Beit Midrash up to see the mechitza. He never even knew there was a problem. Oh, he said to him, how could the Rebbe let such a thing, and the Rebbe had to admit to him, I've actually never picked my eyes up to even look what's up on the second floor. I don't know. So they fixed it. Baruch Hashem, they fixed it. But this tzaddikim, you know, they don't pick their eyes up. So back to what we're saying. If a person cuts out their physical intake, what's going to happen? Their spiritual intake, their spiritual sense is going to become much more fine-tuned. And they'll start, of course, along with prayer, one of the things we should be praying for all the time is Hashem, help me experience Kedusha. Help me feel holiness. You know? We don't just guard our eyes because it's Asur, but we also want to experience holiness. We have to pray for it. And help me experience the joy of like the mitzvot and the Shabbat and tefillin when I put it on. Help me feel holy and when I pray and when I learn Torah and just help me feel whole Kedusha, you know? Kedusha at Eretz Yisrael. You know, we walk in Eretz Yisrael. This is not just a land like any other land. It looks like any other land, but it's a whole different creation, Eretz Yisrael. And when we walk here, we should be praying as we walk, help me feel the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. 4 steps in Eretz Yisrael, you guarantee the world to come. It's like breathing the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wiser. But we don't pray for it, so we're not going to experience it. But so back to the guarding of the eyes. So just like lo aleinu, a person that can't see but becomes more sensitive to in their other senses, so too, if we intentionally make ourselves as if we can't see this world, as in the first Betler, the 13th story of Sipurei Maaseiot. Rabbi Nachman's 13 stories. He was blind, but really he could see. So, and it explains there that because he didn't look at the world at all, nothing in the world was to him anything. He didn't look at the world. So, but really he saw everything. And I read there was a book on Shmirati 9, one of the Haskamot, the approbations was from Rabbi Yekutiel Abuchatzira, this the son of Rabbi Meir, who is the son of the Baba Sali, Zatzal. He said, he has him, he wrote in his approbation that he received from his ancestors, his grandparents, great-grandparents, that when a person guards their eyes, they're able to see very great and very far things. That's like a lot of chizuk, you know? It's not just that it's asur, but that it's asur, because we're not allowed to go after the desires of this world. But it also enables us to see holiness, to feel holiness, to experience much greater awareness of Hashem communicating with us. And last little thing about Yosef HaTzadik, and then we'll put it all together, Bezrat Hashem. In Likutei HaLachot, coming up soon is the Parsha dealing with Yosef HaTzadik, and we know that he was called Yosef HaTzadik because, as the Zohar says, who's called a tzadik? One who shomers the brit. That's what a tzadik is. A tzadik is one who shomers the brit. You don't even have to be a Torah...
Personal holiness.
Personal holiness, right? And Shmirat HaBrit is impossible without Shmirat HaNayim, because if a person doesn't guard their eyes, it's impossible. Because it's guarding their eyes, guarding their thoughts, guarding their Brit. So I'll read and translate quickly. B'tikuno Ayidei, it's in Hilchot Netilat Yadayim Shacharit, Halacha Daled, paragraph 7. B'tikuno Ayidei Yosef, shezachal tachlit ha-bitul b'shleimut karawi, Yosef merited the highest level of making himself nothing. Bechinat ben porat Yosef ben porat alei ayin olei ayin. In the bechina of what it says, ben porat Yosef ben porat alei ayin, he was above the eye. She Yosef bechinat tzadik haemet. Yosef, who is the aspect of the true tzadik, olei al ayin, he was above the eye. He's going to explain what does it mean above the eye. He closed his eyes from seeing this world completely. He had absolutely no looking at this world. Not even like the blink of an eye. Nothing. He saw nothing in this world. That's why he's called above the eye. Because he rose above the eye and he rules his eye. Now he's going to explain. כי הוא עולה על העין ומשלב, כי מי שיש לו הסתכלות בזה העולם, כפי הסתכלותו, כן הוא תחת העין. One who looks at this physical world, to the same degree that he looks at this physical world, that's how much he's subject to be subservient to his eye. Meaning, he's ruled by his eye. כי העין מושל עליו, because the eye rules over him, אחר שנמשך אחר עיניו, because he's drawn after his eyes. So you look at this world, to the degree that you look at this world, that's how much the eye rules over you and pulls you after this world. כי העין מושל עליו, מאחר שנמשך אחר עיניו, כמו שאמרו רבותינו זו למסכת סוטה, על כמה שהלך אחר עיניו, שזהו בחינת ולא תטור אחרי לבכם אחרי עיניכם. I have stories, I think, about people who went after their eyes, Tanaim, I think, I'm not sure, I didn't look at the source, but of people who were drawn after their eyes, and that's teaching us, that's what the Torah means by you shouldn't go after your heart and after your eyes. That's what it means, we draw after your eyes. שלא תהיה העין רואה והלב חומד שולטין עליו. That you shouldn't let your eyes see and your heart then desire be dominant over you. Don't let that rule you. רק הוא יגבר עלי העין והלב ויעלה עליהם ומושב בהם. Rather, you should strengthen yourself over your eye and over your heart, and you should rule over them. Don't let them rule over you. בבחינת עולי עין. In this aspect of you should be above the eye, which Yosef HaTzadik was. And by the way, that's why Yosef had the Malchut. That's why he ruled Egypt. Because nothing could rule him. So he was the ruler of everything. He wasn't just the ruler of a small thing. He was the ruler over the whole empire of the world. Nobody in the whole Mitzrayim picked up their hand or foot without him. He ruled the whole world, basically. Because Egypt was the main, you know, capital of the world.
Superpower.
He owned all the money, he owned all the property, he owned all everything, all the food, everything. Why? Because he ruled over his eyes, so he had the real Malchut. And that's what we get back to at the end, just when we sum it up, that the real Malchut comes from the side of holiness. It's not like it's a forceful takeover. It comes from when a person makes themselves holy and they truly rule over their eye. So then Hashem allows them to have Malchut. This is the halachot. Shelo yeh lo shum istaklu b'zeh olam. A person should have absolutely, don't look at this world. Shezeh b'chanat Yosef, shenikra ole ayin, v'aken hu mevatel kol acharafot v'abushot shehem klal ha'tavot v'asitra acharat. And this is the b'china of Yosef, who is above the eye. And that's why he was able to nullify all the harshness and all the bushot, which is all the tavot of the other side of this world. Basically, when a person falls to tavot of this world, it's like they're getting beat up by the other side. We know it's horrible. It wrecks a person's life. We know that. Nobody likes to walk through the street and be pulled everywhere they go. And it's like, it's horrible. You know, it makes a person, it drains a person's life. They come home, they feel dead. They feel disgusting, no energy in them, nothing. Even Chas V'Shalom, like on internet, a person looks afterwards, they don't feel great, they feel disgusting, lowly. Don't worry, it's okay, we can fix everything. But the point is, it's like the other side beats a person up. This is the Rabbi Nachman as a mashal, the Yetzirah, he comes to everybody, Sichot Aran, and he says, look what's in my hand, look what's in my hand. Everybody, ooh, what's in his hand? And then he starts running and he says, look what's in my hand. And everybody's chasing him. And everybody's chasing him to the end, and then he turns around, opens his hand, and there's nothing in his hand. He starts laughing at them. Everybody thought that they're going to get their tava. Everybody thought he had exactly what they wanted. They chase him, they're all sweaty and hot and hungry and smelly, and they chase him. And then he opens their hand and there's nothing there. And then after that he laughs at them. He says, you loser, see what you're worthless. You didn't get anything. But Yosef HaTzadik, he mevateled all of that because he was over the eye. So none of that had any control over him. Bibchinat asaf elokim et cherpati. In this idea that Hashem gathered up all my disgrace. He didn't have any disgrace in the world. Alken zachai Yosef letachlit ha-bitul bishleimut. That's why Yosef merited the highest bitul, the highest nullification, which we said in the beginning, the Malchut, which is the lowest of the Sefirot, is really the highest. Because since it's the lowest, it receives from everything above it. So Yosef, because he did nothing in this world had any effect over him, he reached the Tachlit of the Bitul, and therefore he reached the highest of the Malchut. That's why he had Shlita, he controlled over everything. And how did he do it? Because he didn't let his eye draw him after this world and get beaten up by the world. He controlled he was over the eye, and therefore he was able to reach the ultimate of the Malchut, and he had control of everything. By ze patar v'tiken chalom paro v'higbir hatov al hara sheva shnei hasova al sheva shnei harav. There's a whole thing why also Yosef was able to interpret Paro's dream and midgaber the 7 years of plenty over the 7 years of famine. That's the whole beginning of this part. But in any event, that was the thing we wanted to see, Bashmati 9. So let's just put it all together with a small tefillah. Bezrat Hashem. Hashem should help us to connect to and to find the true tzaddikim, so that we can realize what our real purpose is here in this world, and we can maximize every day in this world, and not be ever drawn after the dimyon, the illusions of this world, which are just temporary and don't get us any true pleasure or meaning. And Bezrat Hashem, we should be zochet to really shmirat einayim, the real way, and to experience holiness and experience what it means to really just smile and feel good and not have any tavot to pulling us away from holiness. And through connection with the real tzaddikim and learning the teachings of the real tzaddikim, especially connecting to living tzaddikim, to mashpia onto us, we should be zochet to that. To everyone, as much as hard as they work and pray for it, they'll be zochet to more closeness to tzaddikim, and Hashem will open their eyes more to see holiness. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all be zochet to shmirat einayim and never be drawn after the dimyon of this world, and be zochet to laugh in the Yom Acharon, Bezrat Hashem, with the coming of Mashiach.
Thank you very much.